Okay, we're going to go ahead and begin here. Thank you, everyone, for joining this month's Member Solutions teleconference. The topic for discussion is step-by-step tips on building age-specific programs. My name is Melody Schumann, and I'll be your host today. The first portion of this teleconference is in lecture mode. Kathy Marler has muted the telephone so that there's no background noises from any of the people participating. After the lecture mode, we're going to open it up and allow you to ask any kind of questions that you have regarding this particular topic. Now, the reason why I chose step-by-step tips on building age-specific programs is because this particular topic has received a lot of feedback from Member Solutions clients and actually members from all over the industry, for that matter. A lot of people have been looking to find new methods or maybe new ideas and innovations that will help their martial arts school succeed. A lot of people have talked about 2006 and made several comments across the board as far as the success of their schools. Some schools have said that 2006 was not a very good year. Some people said that 2006 was a great year. I personally, at my school here in St. Petersburg, Florida, have experienced a great deal of success in our school. Our enrollments are very high. More importantly, though, our retention and our student morale is very, very high, which I really like. We just had a testing. Our last testing was in November, and we gave out over 40 perfect attendance awards in our school. Now, I think that that is fantastic. In my last school, where I had five times as many students, we never gave out that many perfect attendance awards. And one of the reasons why I do believe we have so many perfect attendance awards is because of our actual age-specific programs. We're not running roller coaster classes anymore where we're trying to juggle targeting the stages of development of children of various age groups. And that does make my job, not only does it make my job a lot easier, but it makes it a lot more fun. I would rather have multiple belt levels in one class with students of all the same ages than having just one belt level in the same class but all different ages. It makes it very hard. I thoroughly enjoy teaching. I am an active martial arts instructor on a daily basis. I teach at least 2 to 3 classes per day at my school on top of balancing out Schumann concepts and balancing out my role in Member Solutions. And the reason why I'm able to do it is because I'm trying to solve problems that make it challenging for school owners and for business people, for that matter, to get through each day. One of the challenges I experienced in the past was just the everyday stress of teaching, having to balance out targeting the stages of development of 6-year-olds and at the same time target the stage of development of 12-year-olds. I would find myself teaching a class with 6 and 12-year-olds, running a drill that was easy enough for the 6-year-olds and noticing that my 12-year-olds were getting bored. So then the very next drill, I would run something challenging enough for my 12-year-olds and notice that my 6-year-olds can't keep up. And that posed a lot of stress on me. It also posed a lot of stress on our retention. We seem to lose students primarily at the green belt level, which is approximately 6 months into the program. And the age groups we were losing were the younger ones and the older ones. The younger ones seemed to start to drop out because the classes were getting too hard. And the older ones seemed to drop out because the classes were getting too easy and they were getting bored with it. And I wanted to find a solution to that problem. And I think I have found the solution. And the solution is age-specific programs. Now, just having the same age in a class doesn't necessarily mean that your program is going to experience a lot of success. You also have to make sure that the content of your program is good, too. You got to make sure that your curriculum is not too challenging and at the same time not too easy. As a matter of fact, in our school, every single testing, I modify my testing requirements. As most of you know, I have skill-specific curriculum, so there's 8 skills that each particular age group is testing on. And each testing, I'm adjusting what I expected from them from each particular skill based on the results from the past testing. If their testing requirements seem to be way too easy and way too boring or maybe insignificant, I adjust it and add something in there that's a little bit more significant, a little bit more challenging. If I find a particular testing requirement which is way too hard and several students struggled with it, then I would modify that as well. I'm always trying to find a better formula and a better solution for my students so that I generate the best results that I possibly can in each and every single class and in each and every single testing. And I think I'm starting to find a really good solution, and that's why I'm here talking to you today. So let's go ahead and get started with the material that I sent you in the report this week. The first step to building a specific program is all about your curriculum. This is very, very crucial. It's just like baking a cake. You may know how to mix your ingredients, and you may know how to cook it, but if you don't put the correct ingredients in there, it's not going to taste as good. Same thing with your A-specific curriculum. You want to make sure that all the ingredients are on point and the best ingredients that you can possibly have. Let's go ahead and break it down age by age. First age group in age-appropriate curriculums is usually around the 3- and 4-year-old margin. I've taken a handful of 2.5-year-olds in my 3- and 4-year-old program, but those were 2.5-year-olds who were exceptionally smart, very talented. They had really good physical, intellectual, social, and emotional skills. But I don't recommend that you open your doors to all 2.5-year-olds. So keep that in mind. You may be stressing yourself out too much. It may be premature to jump into the particular martial arts program. And I know sometimes we hate to turn away that potential student. Sometimes it might be better for your sanity and better for your overall curriculum. Let's go ahead and talk about 3- and 4-year-olds and what you should expect and what you shouldn't expect from them when you're teaching your age-specific curriculums. Well, the first thing is you shouldn't expect them to be able to do anything too drastic. They should be working on basic gross motor skills, such as jumping, walking forward, walking backwards, hopping, throwing, catching. In each particular class, we cover one particular gross motor skill, and the whole class, all we do is focus on drills and, yes, games that will help them build those skills. Now, before I move on, I do want to touch on that one particular point, games, because there seems to be a lot of different buzz in the industry about playing games with students in the martial arts. Some people are firm believers that games are the key to success in your particular children's program. Some people say that games is what waters down martial arts and is what's making martial arts insignificant in today's society. I tend to agree with both in the sense that, yes, if you play too many games, you could be watering down your martial arts, but at the same time, children learn by play. It's just common sense. It's not a rule that I created, and it's not a rule that you created. It's just in nature, children are creatures of emotions, and the emotions that drive them are their happy emotions. Therefore, the game-like atmosphere is what is going to help them learn better. And I am here to help those children learn the best that they possibly can, and if they can learn the best through games, then I'm going to do games. So, yes, I do a lot of games in my class. Of course, I just bounce around with high energy and clap my hands and cheer everybody on the entire class, but I do try to set it up in a play-like setting to make sure that they're enjoying it, and as long as they're getting better, I think that that's the important ingredient that I need to have. So, again, let me review some of the things that you should be working on with 3- and 4-year-olds, things such as running, jumping, hopping, throwing, stepping, twisting, turning. There's so many different activities that you can do with those gross motor skills. You wouldn't believe how many games and activities you can put together if you really sat down and thought about it. It should also work on some basic social skills, such as taking turns, following simple directions, and working together. Don't expect 3- and 4-year-olds to be able to just sit down and behave and listen throughout the entire class. They're not at that stage of development yet. So therefore, I make that part of the curriculum, and I make that part of the game, teaching them how to take turns, teaching them how to sit still in between each particular activity or in between each turn, teaching them how to work together. And I don't expect them to have it naturally. Therefore, if I have some 3- and 4-year-olds who aren't taking turns or who maybe are talking too much or maybe are rolling around on the floor, I'm a lot more patient with them because I expect that from them. I expect that in their social stage of development, they have to be taught it. So in order for them to learn it, I have to be open-minded with them and expect to see a little bit of disruption in the classroom here and from time to time, which is definitely not a bad thing. If you have a student who rolls around on the floor a lot, and within a 3- to 6-month time period, you can get them to sit still, well, then your program has established an extreme amount of value. So you do want to keep that in mind if you are teaching 3- and 4-year-olds, and you do experience certain things such as children rolling on the floor. If one kid falls and then all the other kids laugh in class and they all fall, don't get frustrated. That's part of their stage of development, and that's very common. Hopefully that will make your job a little bit easier. going on to the next age group, which I believe is 5 and 6 year olds. That's what I have in my school, and they work very, very well together. Now, again, 5 and 6 year olds, yes, they are starting to write, and they are starting to read, and they are starting to learn how to pay attention and follow directions. It doesn't mean that they still have the intellectual capabilities of learning a comprehensive form. It doesn't mean that they have the physical abilities to be able to perform the techniques at high standards. It also doesn't mean that they have the social abilities to not argue or to not get upset when they don't get to go first, or they don't get to bow everybody out, or they don't get to hold targets. It also doesn't mean that they have the emotional strength to calm themselves down when they do get upset. So if you're playing dodgeball and they get hit in the face and they start crying, it doesn't mean that dodgeball shouldn't be played in their class. It means that they're still in an emotional stage of development where if they get scared or something hits them and it shocks them, they most likely are going to cry. They most likely are going to show some kind of emotion. And if you understand that, it will make your job a lot easier. Now, in my particular school, we are considered a skill-based martial arts program. That is something that we're focusing on this year when people call our school. They say, oh, are you a traditional martial arts? Are you a mixed martial arts? Are you a commercialized martial arts? What kind of martial arts are you teaching? What kind of style? We like to say that we are a skill-based martial arts school, which means that we take martial arts techniques, various styles, and we use them to teach children age-appropriate skills that they are building in their stage of development. So let's talk about 5 and 6 year old skills that you should expect. 5 and 6 year olds, for the first time, are starting to build focus now that they intellectually can pay attention for a longer period of time. They also are starting to build teamwork now that they socially are able to interact with each other because they're starting to increase their vocabulary. Teamwork is really starting to come out. They're also starting to build control, memory, balance, discipline, fitness, and coordination. If you've been around the industry in seminars and conventions, these skills sound very, very familiar. As a matter of fact, my Future Kids program is in about 750 schools worldwide. And one thing that we all do across the board is we primarily teach these 8 skills. So, for example, each class, I work on 1 skill. A good example is yesterday was balance day. So the whole class, all I did was different games and activities that teach 5 and 6 year olds how to do balance. At the end of class, I have a little test requirement for them to take based on their belt level. And if they meet that test requirement, they collect their skill stripe. Now, their goal for the entire testing cycle is to collect 1 skill stripe for each of the 8 skills, which means once they have all 8 skill stripes, they're ready to test for the next belt level. When they get their new belt, the same thing. They have to collect all 8 skill stripes again, except for this time, their testing requirements are going to become a little more challenging. So let me give you an example as far as what I did in class yesterday. For balance, white belts at the end of class had to do 5 kicks without putting their foot down. Next belt level, which is orange in my school, had to do 10. Next belt level, which is yellow, has to do 15. Next belt level, 20, then 25, then 30, then 35, then 40. And the final belt level, which is a white-black belt, they have to do 50 kicks without putting their foot down. Now, it may sound almost impossible, and as a matter of fact, I've had several people think that I am crazy or fabricating my statistics, but it's true. Every single one of my 5 and 6 year olds that graduates at my school can do 50 kicks without putting their foot down. As a matter of fact, I have 6 of them graduating next Saturday, and yes, they all can. I'll take it even a step further. Because we're focused on skill-based curriculums that are targeting their stage of development, and balance is one of them, our students are really starting to get better each and every single class. On Monday, in my intermediate and advanced 5 and 6 year olds, which are students who have been in the program for 6 months or more, every single student in that class has a best kicking patch. And the way you earn your best kicking patch is by being able to do 50 kicks without putting your foot down before you reach white black belt, which is the final belt level of the program. That's fantastic. I've got 20 kids in that class. So I have 20 kids from green belt, purple belt, blue belt, brown belt, red belt, who can do 50 kicks without putting their foot down. That's what skill-based martial arts is all about. It's about taking martial arts, adding in the discipline, and adding in age-appropriate drills and activities to help generate results. That's why we have such a fantastic program. That's why our marketing material is working, because the results are there. The word of mouth is spreading, and it's not just spreading that we are a martial arts school in the area. The word of mouth is spreading that we are a martial arts school, and the kids who are in that school are getting really, really good at these particular skills. Let me go on to the next program, which is a 7 to 9-year-old program. And if you read the report, you noticed that I had a little side note on there about the 7 to 9-year-olds. When I first released my age-appropriate programs, my 3 and 4-year-olds, 5 and 6-year-olds, I released 7 and 8-year-olds, and also I had a 9 to 12-year-old program. Well, when I opened up my school in St. Petersburg, we noticed that right at the very beginning, we started getting a large amount of preteen and teenage enrollments. A lot of 12-year-olds, a lot of 13-year-olds, and a lot of 14-year-olds were in class. We put our 13 and 14 and 15-year-olds in with our adults, and we noticed that it just wasn't working. I made a lot of my friends join, and a lot of my friends are in my age bracket between 25 and 35 years old. And if you can imagine 13-year-olds with 30-year-olds, the maturity level and the training level and the discipline level just was off that. So what I decided to do is I took my 9-year-olds out of my 9- and 12-year-old program and put them in with the 7- and 8-year-olds. So if you notice in my report, I wrote 7- to 9-year-olds, and then the next age group I have now is 10- to 14-year-olds. This is something new. This is something that I've been experimenting with for the last 2 years, and it's actually starting to work. So you can even see when I released my age-appropriate martial arts programs 5 years ago, I had 7- and 8-year-olds and 9- to 12-year-olds. It's already evolved to 7 to 9-year-olds and 10 to 14-year-olds. There's nothing wrong with that, and I like the fact that I'm consistently learning and I'm consistently innovating, because I feel like our programs are getting stronger and stronger each and every year. Let me go back, though, to the age group that I was just mentioning, the 7 to 9-year-olds. If you have a large amount of teenagers, put your 7 to 9-year-olds together so that you can put your preteens with your 10 to 14-year-olds. If you don't, you can keep 7 to 8-year-olds together. There's the fine line right there in the stage of development. Either way, your program's going to succeed. But let's talk about what they should be working on. 7 to 9-year-olds are still in that stage of development where advanced fundamental skills are not yet developed. That's why in the typical 7 to 12-year-old martial arts program, you're still getting dropouts from 7-year-olds who are dropping out because the program's still too hard for them. And at the same time, you're still getting dropouts in that same 7 to 12-year-old program, dropouts that are 12 years old, they're dropping out because it's too easy. So again, one of the reasons why 7 to 9-year-olds are dropping out is because they don't have those advanced skills. Let's talk about the advanced skills that they still need to build. They need to build agility still, technique, courage, intensity, perseverance, flexibility, speed, and even concentration. So all these skills that we typically would expect 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, and 9-year-olds to have, they may have, but on a very, very small scale. So instead of trying to press in this martial arts material into their training regimen, I decided, let me put them in their own program and build a training regimen around the skills that they still haven't quite mastered yet. And those are the 8 skills that I just mentioned. So what I did was I took all of my beginner material, white orange and yellow belt material, from my regular martial arts program, which is the Karate Kid Zone, 10 to 14-year-olds work on that, and I broke it up into these 8 skills so that they're still learning the same form, they're still learning the same self-defense, they're still learning the same basics, the same jump kicks, the same board breaking, the same sparring lessons, and so forth, but they're learning it in a skill-based structure, in agility, technique, courage, and so forth that I'm talking about. And it works really, really well. They stay in that program for a year and a half, and instead of going from white belt to orange belt to yellow belt, just like my 10 to 14-year-olds and even my adults do, they go from white belt to a beginner orange belt, which in my school, beginner orange belt is an orange belt with a white stripe in the middle of it, to a solid orange belt, to an advanced orange belt, which is an orange belt with a black stripe in the middle of it. So you can see instead of going from solid belt to solid belt, they go through 3 levels of each particular belt. So if you do the math, white belt to beginner orange to regular orange to the advanced orange, and then the same thing through the yellow, beginner yellow, regular yellow, advanced yellow, and then to green, beginner green, and then regular green, when they graduate, they go right into the intermediate program of the 10 to 14-year-olds, and they have all these 8 skills built. And instead of it taking them 6 months to get to green belt, it takes them 18 months. So let's think about it for a second. 7 to 9-year-olds, by the time they reach the green belt level, it takes them 18 months. They've gone through 18 months of advanced skill training of these 8 skills. They're still learning the same curriculum, but they're learning it in a sense that helps build these skills. And now they're at green belt. Who do you think is going to be sharper? The 7 to 9-year-olds who are now at green belt level, who have been in this advanced skill-based program for 18 months, or a regular green belt that is 10-year-old that started from white belt and went white, orange, yellow, green, that only took them 6 months? Well, I can answer the question for you, my 7 to 9-year-olds. They've had 18 months of advanced skill training. They jump into that intermediate program aligned with the 10 to 14-year-olds who went white, orange, yellow belt in 6 months. And the 7 to 9-year-olds are actually now sharper than you guys. So if you remember what I said at the beginning of this teleconference, and actually I've mentioned it time and time again in some of my seminars, my weakest link, which was in my last school, my largest dropout age, if you remember I was saying, were the 7-year-old green belts that were dropping out because it was getting too easy. Now they're the sharpest kids in class. So now they're definitely not dropping out. They see themselves with a lot more skills, a lot more grasp on those skills than the regular 10 to 14-year-olds. So now they're, I'm sorry, I don't know if I say getting too easy. I need to backtrack. The 7 to 9-year-olds who were dropping out because it was getting too hard, now they're so advanced. They're more advanced than the preteens, that those preteens who are in that same class are now stepping up their training too because they have these little hotshots who are moving into the program. So I hope I didn't confuse you here, but what was my weakest link, which was my intermediate level students at the preteen age group, is now my strongest link because of these age-appropriate programs. Let me go ahead and move on to 10 to 14-year-olds. Now, 10 to 14-year-olds, most of the 10 to 14-year-olds in all of our markets have already participated in other sports or activities, so it makes sense that they're going to have some type of agility, some speed, some coordination, maybe not all the way across the board, but a much larger percent than the 7 to 9-year-olds. So now this particular age group, they have learned those fundamental skills, so now I'm starting to teach them martial arts, but I'm teaching them in a more structured environment, and I'm not just teaching them some standard martial arts traditional material. I'm mixing it up. I'm breaking it up. I'm giving them a blend of traditional martial arts and some kind of dynamic martial arts training. Let me list out what I'm doing. And if you notice, I'm sticking with the same thing. There's 8 gross motor skills in the 3- and 4-year-old program. There's 8 fundamental skills in the 5- and 6-year-old program. There's 8 advanced fundamental skills in a 7- and 9-year-old program. Well, there's 8 topics that my 10 to 14-year-olds learn at each particular belt level. And those topics are basics, self-defense, forms, dynamic kicking, board breaking, sparring, or what I call sport training in my school, physical development, and mental development. So for each particular skill, the 10 to 14-year-olds have to acquire their stripe. Once they acquire all 8 stripes for each of those 8 topics I just brought up, that means they're eligible to test. So really mathematically it works out very well for myself and also for my head instructor, Mr. Carlos. Now, again, here's another really cool thing about the age-appropriate program. If you notice, 10 to 14-year-olds are together in the same training environment. That class is awesome. That class is dynamic. I'm able to jump on the floor, or Carlos is able to jump on the floor, and we can bust their butts. We can kick their butts in their physical training. We can challenge them intellectually. We can challenge them emotionally. We can even challenge them socially with the concept of healthy competition. And it's a really big class. All of the kids are great, great friends. They all get along. They have fantastic attitudes. And one of the reasons why that's such a wonderful class is because there are not younger kids in there that are slowing them down. So the class is targeting their stage of development, which makes it really, really fun. For a while, I was a big, big believer that the 7 and 9-year-olds was my favorite age group because they were just good kids. They were just in a really good stage of development. But right now, today, I can honestly tell you, I don't know which age group is my favorite. But what I like about my age-appropriate programs is that my mood and my attitude adjust for each particular class. My first class of the day is my 3- and 4-year-olds, and I can start off a little bit more high energy, a little bit more patient, a little bit more enthusiastic. my 5 and 6-year-olds, I tighten up my enthusiasm a little bit. I tighten up my patience. I tighten up my energy level. 7 and 9-year-olds get in. Then I tighten up my energy level and enthusiasm a little bit more. Then the 10 to 14-year-olds. Then I tighten up my enthusiasm even more. So I mature through the day as each class goes on. Just like the maturity level of each particular age group. So it makes it a lot of fun. But let's go ahead and let's just talk about what you need to do in order to create the curriculum. Take these skills that I brought up, the gross motor skills for 3 and 4-year-olds, the fundamental skills of the 5 and 6-year-olds, the advanced fundamental skills of the 7 and 9-year-olds, and even those topics that brought up for the 10 to 14-year-olds. Because 10 to 14-year-olds, you know, their favorite topic that they like in this particular class is board breaking and dynamic kicking. That's what preteens like. They like the extreme sport of the martial arts. That's why I put in board breaking and dynamic kicking. Take those topics, plug in your martial arts training, plug in some age-appropriate drills that focus on those topics, and you have your curriculum. Now, you want to make sure that when you're creating your curriculum, number one, you have your testing requirements. So you want to make sure that you have a testing chart for each particular age group. Number two, you want to make sure that you have all your class planners written out for each particular testing chart. And number three, you want to have a method for consistently innovating or modifying and adjusting those testing charts. It works really well, and it works the best that way. But let me just touch on class planning before I move on to step number two. I create every single class planner every single day. I no longer wing it in my classes. And the reason why I don't wing it in my classes anymore is because it makes it harder for me to teach, it stresses me out, and it doesn't necessarily guarantee the best results. When I plan out every single class that I teach, I seem to get better results, the class seems to run a lot smoother, and it's just a lot more structured overall for me and Carlos. We both are on the same page. So I honestly encourage you to create those class planners and utilize the class planners instead of winging it each and every day, and the same thing for your staff. Which leads me into instructor preparation. The next step that you need to do is you need to train your staff on your age-appropriate curriculums. And you have to do it in a formal setting. If you just show them the class planner and say, okay, guys, here's what we're going to teach today, you may get results, you may not get results. The reason why you wouldn't get results is the possibility that they don't understand the concept of targeting their stage of development. They really need to be thoroughly trained and understand what to expect and what not to expect from each age group, and they need to understand why you're teaching what you're teaching. If they have any doubt in their mind about what you're teaching and why you're teaching it, then you're going to get limited results in class. On the other hand, if they understand we're teaching this drill, this is why we're teaching it, this is what you should expect from the students, and this is what you shouldn't expect, then you're definitely going to generate a lot of results. And you hear me saying generate results. Everybody asks me time and time again, what is your secret to marketing? What is the best marketing tool that you use? You want to know what my best marketing tool that I use in my school? It's my age-appropriate curriculums. It's the fact that every single class generates results. One of the reasons why we do generate results is because me and my staff understand the curriculum, understand why we're doing each and every drill, understanding what to expect and what not to expect. So that's why I'm encouraging you to thoroughly train your staff. I recommend you do it in a certification-type setting. Set up a certification in your school, review each particular age group, thoroughly explain what to expect, what not to expect, why you're doing each drill, so that when they go out there and they teach it, they believe it too. They have to believe it in order to get results, because if they don't believe it, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but maybe next month or maybe next year, they're eventually going to lose that spark that they have. And your staff is another key to success in your school. They have to have that spark day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. We love teaching at my school. I love teaching. My head instructor, Carlos, loves teaching. The parents can see it. And when we talk to our parents in the parent section, which we always do, and we're always saying, how are you liking the program? Of course, they're saying they love it because their kids are having fun and their kids are getting better. But the other comment that we get a lot from our parents is, you guys just look like you're having so much fun out there. As a matter of fact, I just did a birthday party on Saturday, and I had more than one parent say, I don't know who had more fun, those kids or you and Carlos, because you guys just looked like you were having a blast. And it's true. We love teaching. One of the reasons why we love teaching is not just because we have this chip that's programmed into us that really cares about children, it's because the curriculum works, and it's fun, and we get results. And when our students can do 50 push-ups or 50 kicks without putting their leg down, that makes us even more excited. It makes us more thirsty to teach the next class, to see what we can get the next group of students to do. So if you want to keep your staff excited and you want to keep yourself excited, this is the way to go. This may not be the only option, but this is one good option that has proven effective. So make sure you do certify your staff. And, of course, also, you have to recertify them. Carlos has been an instructor of mine for over 10 years, and I consistently need to retrain him on all this material. As a matter of fact, I host an instructor certification at my school 2 times per year where I train different people from the industry, and Carlos participates in every single one of them. And he says time and time again, every single certification he learns something new. That's what I want to hear from my staff. That's what you want to hear from your staff to generate the best results. Let's go on to step number 3, which is the hardest part of the age-appropriate transition, next to creating the curriculum, of course, is scheduling. Your scheduling is going to be very challenging because it's going to be inconvenient for the parents who have children in multiple age groups. I'll be the first one to admit, yes, that is the biggest challenge. However, I think that it's worth it. I think that if parents are going to look for something for their children to participate in martial arts, and they look at, this school XYZ down the road is very convenient. I can put my 3-year-old, my 7-year-old, and my 12-year-old in the same class in one shot and be done in an hour. Or I have on-the-mat martial arts, and I have 3 different classes I have to participate in, but their school has a lot more quality in the sense that they're going to be able to generate better results because they're targeting the stage of development. What school do I want to go to? I think I want to go to on-the-mat martial arts. That's the kind of market that I want. There is a market out there for people who want convenient martial arts training, but there also is a market out there that values the quality of age-appropriate training. Our school targets the people that value the quality of martial arts training, hence the demographic market that we have is fantastic. 85% of the students at our school are in private school as well. Now, not to say anything wrong about students that are in public school, but it does say something when you have a lot of private school students in your school. Number one, those parents value education to the point where they're going to spend a lot of extra money for their child's education. Therefore, you know their income levels are higher. Therefore, you know that they can afford martial arts training or more expensive programs if the quality is there, which is what our martial arts school does. We are the most expensive martial arts school in the area. Every other martial arts school in the area markets their 2-week, $19.95 trial program with T-shirt and martial arts pants. They're really jumping onto that bandwagon. I've got about 5 good schools in my area, and what I mean by good schools is, I mean they've got a decent enrollment, they're in a decent location, they're decent people, and they have a decent marketing campaign, and they market $19.95. We market 2 weeks martial arts T-shirt, martial arts pants for $59.95, and we get just as many, if not more, people participating in our trial program. Why? Because we target that particular market, the people who find value in the quality of martial arts training who aren't afraid to spend a little bit more. I would rather have less people in my school paying more tuition than more people paying less tuition. I think we all would, and we all talk about it. This is one way that you can do it. But let's go back and talk actually about the scheduling. There's many different ways that you can break down your scheduling, and I'm just going to tell you how I break it down. My classes are 2 times per week for my 3- and 4-year-olds, my 5- and 6-year-olds, my 7- and 9-year-olds, and my beginner 10- to 14-year-olds. My intermediate and above 10 to 14-year-olds and adults also have a 3rd class on Friday, which is their sparring class, okay? So let me go ahead and backtrack. 2 times per week, we have 2 sessions that you can choose from for each program. Monday and Wednesday is session 1, Tuesday and Thursday is session 2, and all the classes are back-to-back. Monday and Wednesday at 3:45 is our 3- and 4-year-old class. Monday and Wednesday at 5:15 is our 5- and 6-year-old class. Next class is our intermediate advanced 5- and 6-year-old class. Next class is our 7- and 9-year-old. Next class is our 10- to 14-year-old. Next class is our adult. Tuesday and Thursday is pretty much the same. 5- and 6-year-olds, 7- and 9-year-olds, 10- to 14-year-olds. So people pick. You want to come on Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday. You can't mix and match. because we cap off our classes, 120 each maximum. We are actually sold out of our Monday and Wednesday 7 to 9-year-old and 10 to 14-year-old program, and we're sold out of our Tuesday and Thursday 5 and 6-year-old program. So you have to pick Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday based on class availability. It's a mandatory attendance policy. If you miss class, there's a makeup class on Saturday. If you miss class and you do not make it up, we make one exception to the rule. The second time, you get a strike. Third time, we remove your membership. That's another reason why we have such success in our perfect attendance and our retention ratio. So, again, you don't have to have it broken out for all belt levels. On my Tuesday and Thursday 5 and 6-year-olds, I have all belt levels. I have white belt through white black belt in that particular class, and it's fine because the way our program is broken up, we have beginner, intermediate, and advanced training together. So I will take a beginner group, or I'll take the beginner and intermediate group, and Carlos will take the advanced. Or maybe our assistant Teresa will take beginner. Carlos will take intermediate. I'll take advanced, and we can work with those multiple belt levels within each group. It's very, very easy to set it up. I recommend you have two sessions, Monday and Wednesday, or Tuesday and Thursday. And if you looked at the report that I wrote out, I wrote out a very simple schedule for somebody who has 100 students. And here's a small formula, and I'm going to go through this really quick so that I can get through this and open it up to your question. Let's say you have 100 kids, and out of 100 kids, you have the following age groups, 35 and 6-year-olds, 37 and 9-year-olds, and 40, 10 to 14-year-olds. Here's how you can break it up. You can add two sessions of 5 and 6-year-olds, session 1 on Monday and Wednesday, which has approximately 15 kids, and session 2 on Tuesday and Thursday, which has another 15 kids. That's your 35 and 6-year-olds. Same thing with your 7 and 9-year-olds. Session 1 on Monday and Wednesday with 15 kids. Session 2 on Tuesday and Thursday with 15 kids. That's your 37 and 9-year-olds. And then the same thing with your 10 to 14-year-olds. You have 40 of them. 20 of them come on Monday and Wednesday. 20 of them come on Tuesday and Thursday. That's your 40 kids. If you do the math, that's 100 kids right there. You see how convenient that schedule can be laid out? Now, I even write out the times that you can do. Monday and Wednesday from 4:30 to 5 is your 5 and 6-year-olds. Tuesday and Thursday, you can make it a little bit later so that you target that convenience schedule at 5 o'clock. 7 to 9-year-olds, Monday at 5:05, Tuesday at 5:35. 10 to 14-year-olds, Monday at 5:40 and Tuesday at 6:10. Now, as you can see, just really quickly, my 5 to 9-year-olds, the class is only 30 minutes long. That's all you really need. You can have a longer class. We are starting to extend our class time to 40 minutes because we spend a lot of time at the end playing games with our students because it ends on a high note. You can do that, but at the beginning, you don't have to. Keep it 30 minutes long until you get the experience and then expand your time classes from that point forward. So scheduling can be very easy. Now, if you're in a particular market where 5 o'clock is your prime time, all you would have to do is push all these classes back. You're going to end a little bit later, but at least you're going to target your particular demographic market. Our market, again, like I was saying, we hit the high-quality martial arts market or the demographics of people who value high-quality martial arts training. In our particular area, the demographic market that we hit are single household incomes with people who only have one family member either working during the day or they work from home or they own their own business, which is really cool. So we can have a 3:45 class and a 4:15 class and not have to worry about them getting off of work until 5 o'clock. I would say that 3 out of 10 phone calls that we get maybe cannot fit our schedule, but 7 out of 10 do, and that's fine with me because the 7 out of 10, if you call and you can make our time slots and you value the quality of our martial arts program, I got you. I'm going to get you enrolled into our program. Let's go ahead and go on really quickly and talk about step number 4, which is internal and external promotions. If you are going to make the transition to the age-appropriate programs, which you do not have in your school right now, then the next thing that you want to do is make sure that you promote it thoroughly. First thing you want to do is you want to build momentum within your school by spreading the word about your start date, your new schedule, and the value behind the curriculums, and also the solutions that each curriculum will provide. Now, that's the most important thing that you want to do when you're promoting your age-appropriate programs, is talk about how your programs are going to provide solutions. If you've heard me talk about child programs before, and I say the initial evaluation, when we pre-evaluate our students, I'm identifying their strengths, and I'm identifying their limitations so that I can say how our program will help their needs specifically. Because you can tell them, come on in, take a free class, see if you like it, and then I'm going to try to sell you on our beginner, intermediate, or advanced program, however you sell your program. But if you're not telling them how specifically your program is going to solve their problems, You may get them enrolled, you may not. If you want to increase your percentages, you got to understand how your curriculums provide solutions for each of your students or for your particular market. Once you figure all that out, then what you want to do is convey this information through your website, through your newsletter, through emails, through flyers, through posters, and through bulletins. You also want to announce your new curriculum in each and every class, and you want to personally speak to it with as many parents. It sounds hard, but it's not. Once you have a good structure, if you have one person who can write out the start date, the new schedule, write out a little bit of terminology about the value of the curriculums, and write a little bit of text about how your curriculum provides solutions, then the next thing you need to do is just post that information on your website, plug it into your newsletter, plug it into an email, plug it onto a flyer, take that flyer and have it blown up into a poster, and then handwrite it on all of your bulletins or post them all over your bulletin boards in your school. It's not very hard if you have a good system for it. Now, you'll also want to announce your new curriculum in every class, like I just mentioned, and talk to your parents. Now, that's important, too. You want to make sure you're consistently talking. New age-appropriate programs start March 2007. It's going to be exciting. You're going to have new class times. You're going to have new curriculum. You're going to get so many more results. This is going to be great. That's what's going to make a big difference. And then, of course, talking with your parents. Now, here's something that you do not want to do. You do not want to go and talk to your parents, and you do not want to announce in your school that you're changing your curriculum or you're changing your age groups, because people are going to say, well, what are you doing wrong right now that you have to change it? You want to say we're innovating. We're taking what we're doing fantastic right now, and we're making it even better by innovating through these new age-appropriate programs. Make sure you keep that in mind when you're spreading the word of mouth. Okay? Let's go on next to externally. Externally, you can increase your enrollments now with a great marketing campaign. Now you can create this huge thing. We are the only school in the area that has age-appropriate martial arts programs that target the stage of development of their training through science and psychology, however you want to word it. Something that makes you stand out from your other market really will help boost your marketing campaign. That's what we do in our area. Our direct mail pieces, our flyers, our emails, our paperwork that we give to all of our local businesses, our newspaper ads, whatever we have, everything we highlight, we have age-appropriate martial arts programs. It definitely targets a really cool market. It definitely provides with a UFT. So going on, when I'm talking about marketing campaign, you're going to want to spread this word through direct mail and also through different forms of advertising. Now, this particular portion, and actually the entire report for that matter, I can help you out on. I've helped hundreds and hundreds of martial arts schools make the transition to age-appropriate programs. And one of the cool things about being a Member Solutions client is that you can contact me, book a 20-minute consultation, and I can take you step-by-step through this entire process, and I'm going to be able to give you results and help you generate results because I've helped so many schoolers before. Just really quickly before we conclude the lecture portion and open it up for questions, let's talk about a few success stories. I have one gentleman in New York who contacted me. He was stuck between 170 and 200 students for years. He said he had a great school. His programs were great. There was nothing wrong with the programs that he had. His staff was great. He didn't understand why he couldn't break that 200 mark. He decided to make the transition into the age-appropriate program, and within 9 months, he went from 170 students to 380 students. How did he do it? Let me tell you. The first thing that he did is he built momentum internally with all of his students and said, you know what? We're going to now take everything that's working for us, and we're going to break it down into age-appropriate training for you guys. So now we're going to be able to target your stage of development a lot better. You're going to train with students of your own age, and you're going to get a lot better results with the training that we have at our school. He also contacted all of his inactive students and said, guess what, guys? Now we have this innovative, new, age-appropriate martial arts training. You've got to come back in and see what's new here at our school. So he got a lot of former students in. He got a lot of referrals in. And then he ran his huge marketing campaign externally to regular people in his community and brought in a lot of new people who were interested. What is this whole buzz about this new age-appropriate martial arts program? And that's what took him to 380 students. So that's just one of many, many, many success stories that people have experienced with the age-appropriate programs. Now, not just on your bottom line with your numbers, because numbers are all really good to hear, because we always hear so many people say, you can increase your numbers this way, you can increase your numbers that way. But here's why I like the age-appropriate programs. because I still like teaching every day. That's why I like them, because it makes my job easier. It takes a lot of the stress work out of running those roller coaster classes and makes teaching fun again. I thoroughly enjoy being on the floor. There's not a day where I stress out trying to figure out how I'm going to balance a curriculum that's going to target all these different age groups. I know what I have to teach each day. Today is discipline, so I know when I go in and I teach my 5- and 6-year-old class, it's discipline. It makes it very, very, very simple for me. It makes it very simple for Mr. Carlos, who's my head instructor, and it generates great results. So I feel really good again about teaching. If you guys remember, and there's a lot of people who I network with, and probably a lot of people who are listening in on this teleconference today, who've known me for the last 5 to 7 years. 7 years ago, I was to the point where I was going to quit martial arts altogether. I owned a martial arts business. It was very successful. We were doing close to $1 million a year. We had tons of world champions in our organization and a very good reputation. But at the same time, I stopped teaching. I didn't like teaching anymore because every day stressed me out. Those classes trying to balance out and keep the younger kids excited, keep the older kids excited, it was just way too hard. And 7 years ago, I was only 24 years old. So I was really young, already on my way out of my career. Things have changed. Now I'm in my 30s, and I'm looking forward to the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the martial arts industry because I really enjoy training. So if anything, yes, these age-appropriate programs will provide you with a USP that will help you improve your marketing results in your particular community. Yes, these age-appropriate programs will help increase results within the classroom, so your retention rate is going to go higher. So yes, your bottom line is going to go up. But also, yes, you're going to enjoy teaching. Yes, your staff is going to enjoy teaching. And that's what it's all about at the end. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank account. If you don't enjoy what you do, you're not going to enjoy the quality of life you have. On the other hand, if you enjoy the quality of life you have, it doesn't matter how much money you have. That's what it's all about. So let's go ahead and open up from lecture mode so that people can ask any kind of questions. I'm sure that there are people who have questions. I've already received 4 or 5 emails from Member Solutions clients in the last few days who have received the report, liked what they read, and had additional questions. So this is your opportunity to go ahead and fire away. Who would like to get started?
Melody, let me just test to make sure. I did unmute it. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Thank you. It's Kathy.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Okay, does anybody have any questions in regards to the age-appropriate martial arts program?
Melody?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Eric Lunsford in Atlanta. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing pretty good. You don't mention it in the report, and I know you've got it in the materials that I've gotten from you in the past, but I can't remember off the top of my head. When you're talking about the number of kids that you have in each session, like, you know, you have your 5- and 6-year-olds on Monday and Tuesday, and however many kids you have in that class, how many instructors do you recommend per group of kids, or how many kids per instructor, I guess, would be a better way to put that?
You know what, Eric, that's a very good question. Let's first talk about what I do in my school and then what I recommend. In our 3- and 4-year-old program, we cap off that class at 10 students. There's 2 instructors, me and Mr. Carlos. In my 5- and 6-year-old program, we cap off each class at 15 students. It's Mr. Carlos, myself, and an assistant instructor in that class. On my 7- and 9-year-olds, we cap off at 20 students. Same thing, myself, Mr. Carlos, and an assistant. And then in the 10- to 14-year-old class, we cap off at 30 students. Same thing, me, Mr. Carlos, and an assistant. And then, of course, in the adults, there's not necessarily a cap, but, of course, I don't foresee our adult program breaking the 35 because we primarily focus on teaching children. In each particular class, I think that too many instructors can be a bad thing, regardless of how many students. Now, with the cap, it makes it easier for us to discipline ourselves and not overbook the classes so that we don't have too many students in each particular group. So, for example, with the 5- and 6-year-olds, we cap it off at 15. We do have an overflow here and there where we'll hit 18 kids, which is fine. But the amount of instructors I want in that class is I want me, I want Mr. Carlos, and I want an assistant. And that's all we really need for that class. We can put 3 groups Our assistant can take the beginners, Carlos can take the intermediates, and I can take the advanced every single class and still generate the best results that I can in that class. So hopefully that'll help you out. Now, the teacher-to-student ratio, you don't really want to go over 10 students per instructor, because when you start going over 10 students per instructor, then you're going to get overworked. However, 5 years ago, I said that you didn't want to go over 4 or 5 students per instructor. With the way our curriculums are working right now, I can teach 10 kids by myself in that class and generate better results than if I had myself and an assistant, just because I know how to deliver my curriculum in a manner that I want. So Carlos and I are very, very good at delivering that curriculum. So he and I can run a class of 20. He and I can maybe even run a class of 30, but I wouldn't want to do that and generate fantastic results. Does that answer your question, Eric?
It certainly does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Again, with just one more comment on what Eric just asked. Again, the teacher-to-student ratio is not as significant if you have 2 really, really good instructors on the floor who know how to deliver the curriculum. In the past, I always felt like as long as myself and as long as I have 4 or 5 assistants who can each take a group of 4, I think that's going to be good. But then you got to remember, the more instructors you have, the more training they need to have. And if they don't have the training, they could be, as Allie put it in one of his last consulting reports, they could be a liability versus an asset. So it's better to have 2 really good instructors that are assets than have 4 instructors that are liabilities. Let's go ahead and open it up to somebody else who may have a question regarding age-appropriate programs. Does anybody else want to make any kind of questions or maybe even any kind of comments on the age-appropriate programs? Okay, one last shot. Anybody else have any questions or comments regarding the age-specific programs? Okay, then it looks like I covered a great deal of information on the age-appropriate programs. Again, let's just go ahead and wrap all this up. Age-appropriate programs are not the only solution in the industry, because there is a huge market for convenient martial arts schools, and age-appropriate programs does not mean that if you have all ages together, you do not have a quality martial arts classes. This is just one of many, many solutions that will work. I personally feel like I am an expert on age-appropriate programs because I've passionately spent years and years researching, studying, and developing the age-specific programs. I guess being a nerd in school when I was younger finally paid off, because my thirst for knowledge really has provided me the opportunities to be able to stand doing research and putting it all down on paper. I like to say that I am an expert at teaching age-specific programs, so that's why I'm so passionately behind it. But again, of course, I always like to tell you guys, it's not to say that my school or my age-appropriate programs are better than you if you don't have them. This is just one of many solutions that can work in your school. So if you like the concept and you want more help, contact me. That's what I am here for. If you're listening on and you've talked with me before, you know what I mean, where I'm passionately dedicated to not just build my school and the success of my school, but I'm passionately dedicated to helping you guys out as well. So don't forget or don't hesitate to book your 20-minute consultations or member solutions. Also, keep in mind that I have plenty resources available to you. If you like what I have to say and you don't want to reinvent the wheel on your age-appropriate programs, I have 4 age-appropriate curriculums. We've sold over 750 units. We're in 9 countries with age-specific programs, and I do very, very, very limited marketing on them, primarily just because I'm trying to not overextend my resources in marketing. But, of course, just like I said, keep in mind the age-specific programs are there. There's even more resources available to you if you like what you get from Member Solutions, you like your consultations, and you like what I have to say. You can get even more information on age-specific programs and more information on all of our marketing that we use through Schumann Concepts. So So if you have an opportunity, jump on humanconcepts.com. Click on the free reports section. See what else is out there. You may like what you have, what you read, and if you like what you read, I recommend you join Human Concepts so that you can get access to all of my marketing material, which is really cool. We really go way out of our way to try to make your job easier without you having to reinvent the wheel. So if you're looking for more information, please keep me in mind. Please keep your member solutions consultants in mind. Book those consultations. That's what I'm here for. Or shoot me over an email, and I'll do my best to help you. Okay, that's it for today. So thank you very much, everybody, for participating in this month's Member Solutions teleconference. Next month, which is going to be the February teleconference, we're going to go back to the top five questions answered. So thank you guys for sending in all of your questions. If you would like to ask a specific question and get a comprehensive answer and have that question covered in next month's teleconference, send me your questions. Please send them to me before next Friday. If you can send me your question before next Friday, and it's a great question, there is a chance that it may be covered in next month's teleconference. Until then, Happy New Year, everybody. I hope 2007 is a great success for all of you, and I hope to speak with each and every one of you in the 2007 calendar year. So everybody take care, and I'll talk to you next month.
Excellent job, Melody. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.